Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite.
Good evening to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the internet in different countries. Today, Friday, October 25th, 2024. Warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, where he is, and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are there with him. Today we have the subject, Women Who Serve Christ, preached on May 29, 2014, in Valencia, Venezuela. He tells us in John, chapter 9, the Gospel according to John, on the 9th chapter, verse 35 and on. This was after Jesus healed a man who was blind from birth, who was cast out after testifying of what Jesus had done. Look, it says on verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talk with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. You may please be seated. In the message, Searching the Scriptures, which was preached on December 29, 1985, in San Felipe, Venezuela, our brother William tells us, and what a human being can know in the time in which he lives is always what God is doing at that time, because it is beneficial to the person who can understand it. But that itself becomes judgment, and that is why judgment comes upon those who cannot understand it, reject it, despise it, without knowing that they are rejecting eternal life, that they are rejecting what God has for the benefit of the human being. That's the way that has always been. What God has for this time is what will bring the great blessings that God has promised to the human beings, but will also be what will bring the divine judgments that God pointed out in the Scripture. For those who cannot understand cannot receive it, because the blessing and the curse always comes. That is why he said, I set before you a blessing and a curse, life and death. And there he says, Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That same scripture says, look it up, to have it here as well. In Deuteronomy, chapter 11, it says, verse 26, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. in another place, let us see here where it says, therefore choose life, that thou may live. Choose life, that thou may live, and thy seed may live. Something like that. But also here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and on, it says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his way, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drowned away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now notice, our brother William continues to say here, that is why he said, I said before you a blessing and a curse, life and death. That's the way it is, and you and I cannot do anything to make it any other way. But we can do something. The most important thing we can do, so that it's good for us, to be able to receive the divine blessing, to be able to receive all the promises that God has made for his children, we can receive them by believing and receiving what God has promised for our time. And as Jesus said on one occasion when he was asked, what shall we do? Or what shall I do to do the work of God? Many people thought that such and such a thing had to be done. And he said to them, it is simple, that you believe. In other words, many people say, no, to do the work of God is to do this work or this labor here and there. Of course, that is one of the things that must always be done in the program that God has in each age and in each dispensation through that messenger that God raises, which the first thing you have to do is to believe in the one who he sent, and then to work in the labors pertaining to the one that is sent, who comes bringing that message, the fulfillment of the prophecies. And that messenger has a work to carry out. And then God, with that group who is called and gathered with that message, brought by that messenger, they work hand on hand with that instrument. But first, they have to believe in that instrument. And then they do the labor, the work pertaining to that time. However, what good is it for them to work laboring in certain works if they do not believe in the one sent by God who he has sent at that time, in that age or in that dispensation? It is of no good for them to carry out the work, the labor. And they cannot say, well, it's because I did this work, that work, and this other work. But if they do not believe in the messenger that God has sent for that time in which the person is living, it's of no use to them. Now, here he gives us a very great teaching. Because the first thing a person has to do is to believe in the one who is sent. Many people thought that such and such a thing had to be done, and he said to them, it is simple that you believe. But people may have said, but I believe what Moses said. I believe the Bible. I believe what is preached in my church, in the synagogue that I attend to. I believe what is preached in the temple, and I believe what the high priest preaches when he speaks the scriptures. That was good, but it wasn't the best. There are many people who may say, I believe the message of Moses from the Bible, of what Brother Branham said or what our Brother William said. I do believe the message. I believe what my minister says. But notice, that is very good, but it's not the best. Now he goes on to say, and much less in those days when the ministers of that time, the high priest and all the ministers of that time, 99% had a very bad opinion of Jesus. If the high priest preached and spoke of Jesus, what he spoke was against, so that they would not receive him. There's an excerpt that we read not long ago, which said that what was it worth for them to know the life of Jesus or that instrument if later they would use that exact same thing to fight against him, to point out things against him. So notice, it was of no use for them to know the life or to have the knowledge about the life of Jesus if afterwards they were going to use that exact information against him. Now notice, the high priest, it says here, if the high priest preached and spoke of Jesus, what he spoke was against, so that they would not receive him. So, in those days, it was not a matter of saying, I believe what my church or my synagogue says or teaches through the minister we have there. But rather, Jesus said, that you believe in the one he has sent. That is in the Gospel according to John. Chapter 6, verse 28. It says, John, chapter 6, verse 28 and on, it says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That was the work that they had to carry out first. Later then, the other things would be added on. The other things were the work that would be carried out. That is, being hand in hand with Jesus in his ministry. And that is how it is in our time as well. Now he continues saying, after John the Baptist finished his 6-month teaching, the other person divinely qualified and ordained to teach human beings had a name. It was not Caiaphas, although Caiaphas was the high priest. He was a man who had not been educated in universities nor in theological institutions or seminaries of that time to teach religion to the people of that time. Instead, he was a man who once said, I have come down from heaven, and no man has ascended to heaven, but he who come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, even though he was on earth. He read to us in a message that we are going to hear today, an excerpt from The Ages, on page 78. The paragraph is on page 78, he says. Now you will notice that Jesus is walking alone in the midst of his churches. There is no one else with him. Neither indeed can there be, for he alone wrought her salvation, and having purchased her with his own blood, he owns her. He is her Lord and Master. She gives him all the glory, and that glory he will not share with another. There is no Pope with him. There is no Archbishop with him. Mary, the mother of his earthly body, is not with him, He does not speak and turn to a father, for he is the father. And to the right, he writes, Jesus Christ is God, Lord. He does not turn to give orders to a Holy Spirit, for he is God, eternal Spirit. And on the right, there are also three circles, one inside the other. And it is his life that is flowing and pulsating in the church, giving her life. And without him, there will be no life. Salvation is of the Lord. And there he writes, God equals the eternal Spirit. And he continues saying here, and those words cannot be understood unless one knows that Jesus was the true prophet and had both consciences together, and the Word was or had been made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and his name was Jesus. And being among human beings on earth, he was also in heaven. He lived in another dimension, and that is how prophets are. They leave both worlds, and they see and bring from that other world of God into the world of humans. And often Jesus said that he saw such and such, but he was not seeing it on earth. He was seeing it in another world. That is why he said, I speak nothing but what I hear the Father speak, and I do nothing but what I see the Father do. The words that I speak, I do not speak of myself. So those words that he spoke were from another world. That is why they were so strange to the human beings, because it was not the common way that the ministers of that time spoke, who were always telling people, God will do, God is going to do such and such a thing. But they could never say to the people, God is doing such and such a thing according to the Scripture. That is why today, the Holy Spirit through that instrument tells the people, this day, this prophecy, that prophecy, that prophecy is being fulfilled. Today, the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels is being carried out. Of the coming of the white horse rider of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and on. In other words, in each time, each messenger could speak in that way. This day is the Scripture fulfilled. The Scripture of sending that messenger to carry out that work in each age and in each dispensation. Let us examine the Scriptures so that we see what God is doing. That was the difference. And what the human being needs to know is what God is doing at the time in which he is alive. That is why one has to examine the Scriptures, to see which are the Scriptures pertaining to the time in which one lives, which we talked about yesterday in a greeting that we sent to Chile, he says. Because what good is it for the person to know the Scriptures that were fulfilled thousands of years ago and not know the ones that are being fulfilled in the time in which he lives? When a person does not know the Scriptures that pertain to the time in which one lives, when he does not know the promises that God has made for the time in which one lives, he is spiritual, unlearned. He is the most ignorant person who lives on this earth. So notice who are the real ignorant people on this planet earth. Even if he went to the best universities on this earth, in the time of Jesus, they studied a whole lot. The great ministers of that time had studied a lot. That is why, what good is it for a person to study a lot, to know a lot of things about sociology, and a lot of philosophy, and many things about self-esteem and things like that, if they are spiritually unlearned? So for them, what is the use of having that university knowledge if they do not know the prophecies pertaining to the time in which they live? They are spiritually unlearned. And they are the most ignorant people on this planet Earth. It is as simple as that. But what God was doing in those days was known by those intellectual ignorant people who were serving the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus asked, whom do men say is the Son of Man? They began to say, some say that you are one of the prophets that has risen again, or that you are John the Baptist. Therefore, they did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of Man manifesting himself to fulfill the messianic promises for that time. But when they ask his followers, probably the least intelligent, the one who has studied the least, a fisherman. Oh, how I seen that in all these tours. Simple country people. People who, many of them, do not have the opportunity to study. Who perhaps don't know, and many of them have written to me through another brother saying, I don't know how to write. I haven't been able to go to school. I haven't been able to learn how to read or write. But one thing I do know, that you are the fulfillment of what God promised for this time. You are the one I was waiting for, see? Then they become an extremely intelligent people that is compared to scholar peoples of university who couldn't understand or haven't understood the fulfillment of the prophecies for this end time. All those studies are of no use to them if they haven't been able to recognize the divine program pertaining to this time. When Jesus asks, and you, who do you say that the Son of Man is? Who is the Son of Man to you? Who do you say the Son of Man is? The most seemingly ignorant person said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice, it's like that scripture that we read at the beginning, on verse 35 and on. Let's read there. On verse 9, rather chapter 9, verse 1. Let us read this portion that we did not read it at the beginning, but let us read it so you can see there, on this occasion, when Jesus healed that blind man, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. In other words, it is like, look, yes, it is me. It is I. That is, they knew him. It is like they knew Lazarus when he resurrected. But notice, the unbeliever, there is no way. There is no way to make him understand or believe. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Now, with this testimony alone, everyone should have believed. But notice, this is how it is in the spiritual realm. There are people who say to others, wow, I was spiritually blind and now I'm seeing what I didn't see before. And I am understanding everything that God promised, that in the Great Ten Cathedral, a teaching would be given, that the rapturing faith would be given. I once was blind and now I'm seeing. That's enough for other people to start searching, or for that person to start searching. And he must say, wait a minute, he told me his spiritual eyes were open, and I'm not seeing it, and I want to see it also. So spiritually, I'm spiritually blind, and I want God to open my spiritual eyes as well, because that is the greatest miracle that God can do, to open the spiritual eyes to a person. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that after time was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. That is the second time. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Right away they start to bring up things from Jesus' past, because they said of him that he was a gluttonous man, a wine drinker, a friend of publicans and harlots. In other words, he was a man who was around the people. And notice, they quickly start bringing things up about him. Let us say, they were raking up Jesus' past, instead of searching the scriptures and seeing what was promised for the Hebrew people at that time, so that they would not overlook it, and would choose the blessings instead. Well, in the end, what did they receive? The curses, the divine judgment, see? So what were they profited of by condemning Jesus? They spoke ill of him and all that, and at the end, they're there in the fifth dimension. It did not do them any good. The joy, the happiness, the joking, the mockering and all that, it was just for that short time that they were living. Then afterwards, notice the case of that rich man. What good was it for him to have all the riches in the world if over there he was crying out to Father Abraham to send Lazarus with the tip of his finger dipped in water to cool his tongue? He could not even afford to buy water there. See, it is of no use to a person who does not receive and who is not elected of God, predestinated by God, to be an elect and to see the program that God is carrying out at that time in which the person is alive. Then say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he had opened thine eyes? He said, He's a prophet. Notice, a person who was blind, haven't seen with his eyes for a long time. Let us say, for sure they spoke to him about Jesus and what he was carrying out. And notice that the great revelation that this person speaks there in front of them and testifies to them in front of people who were religious. They knew the scriptures, kept the Sabbath, they were faultless. And the revelation that he gave them there, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe that he was blind. There you have the unbelievers. And that he received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received his sight. So it wasn't enough with his testimony or the comments of the neighbors. Yes, that's him. He's the one that was always begging around there. He was blind. So then they call his parents, because right away they involve the family. That's how the devil is. He's a coward. So they call his parents, and they ask them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. That is, they already had that as a law there. We don't want such a person to come here to talk about Jesus. If he believes in him, we don't want them here. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called a man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Again, they inject that person with something negative about Jesus, see? The devil tried to root up that faith that that person said and had testified that Jesus was a prophet sent by God. But the devil is quick with sin in hand, because that is how he always attacks, with sin, which is in his kingdom. He brings it out from the people have cast it away, he brings it out and puts it in the hands of those people, of those instruments. And with that is that those instruments speaks with their mouth and with their actions. In other words, they have the sins of God's elect in their hands. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. There goes the third time. And ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Here he got them eating out of his hand. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Many also say that. No, we aren't his disciples of that instrument, of that man who is there talking in the tent. We are disciples of Brother Branham, or others say, we are disciples of Dr. William Soto Santiago. How the same thing repeats itself at this end time. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. That's exactly what they say. Well, nothing is said about that guy, not in the Bible, nor here or there. Well, they haven't seen him, because they do not have the revelation from above, as simple as that. And no one knew the seventh seal. It was a total secret. That revelation was going to come directly to the soul of each elect, of each predestinated of God, elected of God, who would love his coming, who would receive him and will be transformed. Those who do not receive at this time the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, don't get dressed, you're not going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Only those who receive the seventh seal, the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, are going there. As simple as that. The men answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he had opened mine eyes. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Notice the insightful words this man is saying here. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teachest us? And they cast him out. The very word that he spoke to them ate them up inside, and got them so angry that they cast him out, instead of sitting down to search the scriptures and see what God had promised, and see that what he was carrying out there was one of the works that the Messiah would do when he was in the midst of the Hebrew people. Now, notice what our brother William continues to say here. Perhaps Peter didn't know much theology, or didn't know anything about theology, or theological terms, but he knew the greatest thing that could be known those days, and that was to know who was the man that was fulfilling the divine promises for that time, and who was the man that they had to hear, who had the divine teachings for those days concerning the Word of God, and who was the one in whom they had to believe. Others said, I believe the high priest. What he says, that is what I believe. I believe, another one may say, I believe the minister in charge of the synagogue that I go to. And that was faithfulness to a church, to a synagogue. But when the time comes where God fulfills what he promised, for the time in which one is alive, you are called to believe what God is doing in the time that you are alive. Otherwise, all the divine benefits, no matter how many blessings, benefits God has promised for that time, they will be far beyond your reach, because they are only for those who can believe what God is doing for that time, because there is where the divine blessing comes. That is why Jesus could say, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And they were holy people, people who were very set apart. Let's see, that is in John chapter 8, verse 20 and on, where he tells us, These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. The elect of God at this end time also say the same thing, and the instrument also. But notice, here Jesus is giving them a great revelation. This is solid food for them. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now notice, one was required to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, because otherwise they would die in their sins. And that is how it happened. And at the same time, it is the same thing. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Because at this end time, through the ministries of Moses and Elijah, God is extending mercy for the last time. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and he is with me as well, and with all the elect also. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, notice, he said there, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Now notice that in the Book of the Seals, on page 425, there, on that paragraph, he continues saying, he says, And there they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said here, They called for the cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of the and the wrath of the Lamb. He had written there, lion. Now, there you realize that in that manifestation, there is no more mercy there, but rather it's judgment. Because he comes first in mercy, which was fulfilled in Brother Branham, where on paragraph 183 of the Book of Quotations tells us about all this. And then he says there that it is in judgment. But notice that what would happen in this end time was shown in this stage where the ministries of Moses and Elijah are working in the midst of the church, first in a time period of mercy, and then in judgment. Now, our brother William continues to say here, but nevertheless, and they were holy people, people who were very set apart. And the only sin that there is the one of unbelief. They all had it, because they could not believe in the greatest thing that was taking place in those days. The greatest sin that people have today is the sin of unbelief, because they haven't been able to believe the great work that God is carrying out at this end time. And the great sin that they have is unbelief. They could not believe in the one sent by God, and that is the greatest sin. they were committing in those days, and that sin will lead them to damnation, because light came into the world, and men loved the darkness more than the light. And they could teach many religions at that time, but religion doesn't save anyone. It doesn't take anyone to heaven. But the program that God has for the time in which one lives, take the elect of God as far as God has appointed for that time. At this time, Brother Branham said it, if anyone would fully come into the message, it would send him into the rapture, into eternity without knowing it. That is to enter into the depths of the pure word, where the revelation of the seventh seal is being given, which is what brings the rapturing faith to each elect of God. And to understand that, it does not come by human wisdom. That is why when Peter said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the messenger, the anointed one for that time, the Messiah, Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. A revelation from another world, from another dimension, was being manifested for those who were following Jesus. They were the ones who understood, who comprehended, and who believed that Jesus was the fulfillment of the messianic promise for that time. And since they were the ones who believed that way, they were the blessed ones. In a little paper sheet, he writes, the fulfillment of the scripture, the vine and the grape plant. And he continues in the writing, for what it is written of me has a fulfillment. Everything that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do will be through his children, the chosen ones, who are the members of his mystical body today. And thus, he will fulfill every promise of the scripture. It is a beautiful and marvelous thing to see the scripture being fulfilled through us. And that there, for sure, Peter was amazed, joyful, rejoicing, happy, that the scripture were also being fulfilled in him. And the elect of God at this time, the church bride also, it is something beautiful and wonderful for us to be able to see the fulfillment of all the scriptures and be part of the fulfillment of those scriptures. Blessedness always lies in believing what God has for the time in which one lives. I'm reading from the message. That is why it is necessary to always be examining the scriptures. That is why Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. Whenever God sends a messenger, the scripture will be testifying of that messenger that God has promised to send. Now, we have seen how important it is to search the scriptures. Women who serve Christ. It is the subject that we have for today, but it's a subject that contains many important things for everyone, men, children, adults, and everyone, even though he titled it Women Who Serve Christ. So, let us stand and thus leave with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.